Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and I'm so excited to introduce Michelle Mercier. Michelle is an international best-selling author, engaging speaker, experienced business consultant, and passionate coach. Michelle works with small and medium-sized companies, leveraging her years of experience in transformational leadership, change management, operational excellence, business development, and marketing. But the reason why I wanted to bring her onto the show is we share a lot of commonalities in our corporate experiences and journey into being business owners. But she does bring unique insight to the conversation, and I especially enjoy her perspective on helping humans find their true value and elevating them to their highest potential. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
Now, we had a great conversation before we jumped on here and a few weeks back, so this is going to be absolutely amazing. So would love for you if you could just share a little bit about your business journey and switching from corporate to your business and how you came to create Honesty.
Yeah, of course. So it's been a very non-traditional route, as I'm sure you're finding with many of your guests, especially those in the entrepreneurship space. My original journey way back when in undergrad actually started with a theater and music major of all things. So I was very driven around that, very creative personality, but I also always was extremely business-minded. I was one of the few people that I found standing in an audition line in New York City that was also trying to strategize kind of the marketing of the shows and all that stuff. So I ended up switching sectors a little bit, getting a master's degree in, you know, what I like to call an MBA for the nonprofit sector around the arts. So I learned how to run an organization from the ground up, specifically, you know, fundraising, which I equate to marketing and sales, kind of same realm. You know, and then I ended up running an organization as a managing director, and it hit me that the pay was not all that great in the arts nonprofit world. So I had some future plans that I wanted to tackle. So I jumped to corporate, where I ended up working in the tech space for about over 10 years. So I ended up specifically working in email marketing operations with large enterprise level clients, like, you know, think NFL, Bed Bath & Beyond. I led the PayPal Europe email operations team for a good amount of time. And then our business units were bought and sold numerous times. I think I must have gone through the period of time which I was with that particular business, 5 or 6 different, you know, acquisitions, mergers, buyouts, all the different things, and I was on the operations side. So I always found it very interesting to pay attention to the leadership, for one thing, and all the learnings you could get, especially on the operations side. But for us, it was the intersection of people, process, and technology, and how all of those pieces kind of fit together and how you lead through it. So, and then my first son was born. At the time, I was leading the PayPal Europe team. And one day he walked up to me and said, "Up, mama," and had a full-blown seizure in my arms. So that started one leg of our medical journey, as I was running a team, a very big, high-profile team. And I was at the office at 5:30 in the morning and wasn't signing off until APAC, you know, signed off on the other end of the time zone spectrum. And along that journey, he had multiple medical issues. I was juggling all of those things. And then I got pregnant with my second child. And, you know, our company business unit again bought. And I was in charge of the program management around the outsourcing of our department. So that was a very, as you can imagine, an extremely difficult job, full of a lot of learnings. But I went on a maternity leave, and all of a sudden, my business unit no longer existed. So I ended up being laid off because there was no need to have me there anymore. And I like to call that moment when I received that phone call my floor moment. Many of us have had them before, either it's your, you know, your bathroom floor, your kitchen floor, but that was the moment that my life, the rug got kind of pulled out from underneath me. Because what I didn't tell you, say already was that my second son, when he was born with a litany of health issues as well. So I found myself talking to HR about, you know, different ways to go back into the workplace. My children had maybe kind of become medically stable. But then when that four moment happened, it was extremely freeing for me because I didn't like what I saw anymore. I didn't like the person that I had become. As you can imagine, there was quite a lot of fear-based decision-making happening in the corporate space that I was in, a lot of, you know, cutthroat negotiations. I found myself never doing anything without some sort of an agenda behind it. You know, and I'd come very far off the reservation from where I was. So therefore, I decided to kind of take the leap into entrepreneurship. And at the time when I founded my company, you know, I was in and out of hospitals almost every day with both children. So there was no way I could foresee that I would have stepped back into a six-figure position anyway. But I managed to build out two companies since 2016 while juggling all of that. So in right now, I primarily, you know, coach and consult for small businesses and entrepreneurs. And I absolutely love it. So that's kind of my very untraditional journey for you.
You know, that's truly amazing. And it's really a story of resiliency. But I think that's what true entrepreneurs are actually made of. We all have this amazing story, brute force. We are amazingly good at our technical skills. We have share a common interest in operations. But sometimes that brute force, that grit, that tenacity just takes a toll. And to your point, you had to question a point where whether it really was worth it. But taking then the best of what you've learned from all that and applying to your business and clients going forward. It's a fantastic story.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And I just, you know, I think that is where I think, you know, I know you're going to ask me this, but the name Create Honesty Inc. is the name of my company because I started speaking to quite a few people who had checked all the boxes that they were supposed to equal, you know, happiness or success, and they weren't happy with it. So I wanted to really dive in and figure out, well, if you aren't happy, how do we get you there? If you are a leader leading a team and you're miserable, why? You know, I really wanted to pull the veil back on that a little bit.
You know, it's interesting how we get those signals sometimes in our life when it comes to a point where you might need a change. And again, this is why I wanted to bring you on, because I would say about 6 months before I left, I was experiencing a medical situation with my husband, and I was on the phone with my boss. It was my annual review, and I got feedback that I did not expect. And again, being a high performance individual, and perhaps the performance management process had not been done as often, as effectively as it should have, it was a blow. But resiliency, I kept rising to the occasion, working harder. And then at the end of the day, after basically turning around the organization, it still came to pass that I wasn't happy, that it was not what I wanted to do for fulfilling work. So again, my message for listeners is, if something is lining up and saying it doesn't feel right, you don't feel good anymore, think about looking at a different direction.
Yeah.
So I'd love to talk a little bit about some of the things that you're very keen about. One of the things you talk about is communication and leadership. Being management skills are one thing, but being able to communicate effective messages and influencing others is really important. So what have you found, or what advice do you give your clients in that area?
You know, it's interesting that that's the topic you bring up, because it is one I'm extremely passionate about. I think because I saw so many buys and sells and changes in the corporate space where, you know, as leaders, it doesn't take a lot to lead effectively, especially through change or be resilient, but it does take a lot for some reason for them to remember that they're dealing with human beings, you know, and just to, number one, just be a nice person and practice empathy and compassion in your leadership. When you're sitting across the table and laying somebody off, when you're sitting across the table and walking someone through a hard season of their career or giving a poor review, you know, just being able to lead from a place of humanity, you know, and compassion is what I speak to a lot of my clients about. And it's amazing because it's not rocket science. It's really not, but it is stopping to think about the human on the other end of the transaction, which is just good business, in my opinion, from a marketing perspective, a leadership perspective, no matter which way you look at it. Making sure that the human stays in the business is really what I...
So I'm curious, you've been in business, I've been in business, and I come across this exact same issue. Why is it that people are not learning empathy and understanding when engaging in maybe challenging conversations? Why is it missing?
You know, I've given a lot of thought to that over the years, as I'm sure you have too. Because again, not rocket science, but for some reason along the line, we were told separate business from personal, right? As if you can actually do that sort of thing. Because you can't. You can put stats against everything. You can have smart goals for things. You can do all the things. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with people. So I think it's this business model that was put in play a long time ago, whether I think some people reference it as kind of like a male business model. I'm not sure how much I agree with that. But, you know, it is very much a separation of church and state when it comes to the person and doing business and shut it down, shut those emotions, shut the vulnerability down, just do business. It's all about the business sale. And it really is not. I mean, that's why you see so many big brands with staying power nowadays, the ones that actually appeal to people's happiness, the ones that actually think about the people as people are really the ones who have the staying power. And quite frankly, the people that I would prefer to work with, you know, 9 times out of 10.
You know, I actually think we should possibly change the performance review and do it based on values and important characteristics, because if people can excel at that, the results, which are actually easy to measure, and that's why they do have them in performance review, would probably be secondary. Because if you can get the human dimensions and activities sorted out, the rest will just come.
Yeah. And I think just to add on to that too, I think a lot of leaders, when they sit down with their employees, are not factoring in the what's in it for them factor, right? It's very simple to just say, oh, this person automatically is here for the money. This person's automatically here for this, without just asking them. You know, so when I'm leading something, you know, when I'm leading a team, when I'm coming in and consulting, whatever that may look like, you know, the first thing I ask people is, well, do you know why your people are here? Do you know what gets them out of bed in the morning? Do you know what is actually motivating them through this process? Because if you don't, then you're just barking orders at people and not really understanding how they tick. Does that make sense?
So I'd love to take this in another direction. I've seen some video that you've done back in 2018, and you also say you'd love to talk about it, is in the area of lifestyle. So, and I've also made this mistake about, you know, in order to get ahead, in order to be successful in my business, I talk about discipline. But one of the things that you revert or change is it's really about self-worth versus the discipline to get ahead. I'd love for you to share more about that.
Yes, I was kept stumbling upon a lot of people, and myself included. And a prime example of that is, you know, January 1st, when everybody flocks to a gym, right? Everybody and their brother, you see all that jump, those memberships. And what it comes down to is a lot of people end up beating themselves up about, I didn't have the discipline to keep going every single day, you know, and I really don't believe necessarily in a lot of individuals that it's a discipline issue, but I do think it's a self-worth issue. And it comes down to, do you think that you're enough to deserve such, you know, good health? Do you think you are enough that you deserve success in your life? Things like that. And I think a lot of the old programming and a lot of the stories maybe we've been told, whether it's growing up or, you know, by old bosses or whatever it may be, really and truly do influence how we show up now and what gets in our way of changing old habits, you know, and really setting ourselves up for success, especially when it comes to beating ourselves up on that cycle of disciplinary actions towards ourselves, which just really hurts yourself more when it comes from a self-worth perspective.
You know, you just brought up a really good point about discipline versus self-worth. Discipline almost has, as you said, a negative connotation.
Yes.
But when you think about it in the context of, you know, for instance, lifestyle changes that I want to make, or even going after a dream or trying out something new, self-worth has a very positive perspective. Am I worth this? And I will tell you one thing. Again, I'm sure many people have these associations, but you know, I made the decision when I went into business, I put a picture of myself up of when I was much younger and idealistic. And I said, that's the person I want to be. I am worthy of being that person who had all of those dreams. Now, I, like you, went into the practical area. I went into business. Mm-hmm. I went into engineering. I went into operations. But like you, when I was younger, I was into music and theater and writing. Mm-hmm. And now as a business owner, I find that passion. And now I'm using that passion, I am worthy of it, and serving others. And so it's a much better place to start from when you as an individual think of yourself, do I have that self-worth versus discipline to move forward?
Yeah. And I think it's also a matter of always understanding that there's another choice that you could make. A lot of us end up stuck in that box. I speak to clients about this all the time. Just because you said, you know, you set out in this journey and this is the box that I'm in. And we as human beings put people in boxes all the time, right? Like, because we like things in nice, clean categories. But I think it's the entrepreneur in me that knows that at any given time, I can pivot, I can change my mind. I have the power of choice in order to move forward in my life and in my business. So, and that becomes a tremendous asset, especially when you have an accumulated set of skills that you've learned over years to apply, as I'm sure you could agree with too, as you kind of jumped into this journey too.
So I'd love to move in another direction. So you've been coaching, mentoring, working with business owners and entrepreneurs. You know, it's not easy, the work we do. I mean, we wish we'd have a perfect client all the time that just goes with all of our insights, et cetera. But I would love to know a time where maybe you dropped into a situation with a client or a business and they were going through changes and it was challenging for them. How were you able to move them through in their transition?
Yeah, so I think that's all I do right now because we're in COVID times. So I do think that that is what I spend the majority of my time doing right now, is speaking to people about their ability to be resilient in business. And sometimes that falls on willing ears, and sometimes that means having to say the hard things. I've had a client recently who her entire business was basically wiped out. She's a motivational speaker, and the majority of her business comes from leads that come from her live events that she throws. And as you can imagine, that's a very challenging position. So to wake up one morning and all of a sudden, you know, see what you've built is gone, you know, that's a challenging position to walk with someone through. You know, and all I can do as a coach and a consultant is just walk with her through it beside her. I can give her advice. I can do my best, but I've never been through this either. I can use my strategy and put my strategic hat on and plan out as much as I can. But I think that's where the human piece comes in a little bit more, to circle back as we were speaking before, is, you know, we can talk strategy. I can look at your bottom line. I can look at your numbers. I can give you my best educated guess as to which way you want to go. But as a human, I also have to respect the process of grieving your business, the process of, you know, the hard time in which you're going through. I hope that answers your question. I know I went a little bit on the COVID end of things, but it feels like all I do every day right now.
So it's absolutely a significant need, but you do bring up a good point. So often as leaders, when there is a situation we're not meeting the target that we're supposed to, we kind of go very tactical. Yes. And try to say, okay, where can I help? Where can we do some analysis here? Do you need more resources, et cetera? You bring up a really important point. Sometimes people going through a transition or change need to simply pause and acknowledge their emotions. And again, this goes to those essential skills, acknowledge it, acknowledge the grieving process, because I think if we don't allow people to go through that process, they can't get through it and get to a point of healing and then opening up their eyes to maybe pivot in these times and different possibilities. Maybe they can go in a different direction or leverage their skills in a different way.
Yeah. And I think I've had business owners who have come during this time and said, I'm shutting it all down. The heck with this. I don't want to do it. I'm tired. I'm scared. No. You know, and my response to them is always, okay, where is this decision coming from? And if it's a strategic move and you've, you know, again, run the numbers, you've done all your homework and it makes sense to shut it down, or if you quite frankly think the season is over, fine. But if it's a fear-based decision-making, you know, practice, you know, we really have to slow down. I love the quote, you know, when you're going through hell, keep on going. But at the same time, if you're going through hell, you need to stop, strategize, and then keep going, not just kind of plow through or make a decision, you know, from a knee-jerk reaction standpoint.
You know, advice I give to my family or my kids whenever they're faced with a crisis, I have to let them go through the emotion, but I always say sleep on it, because things are always better the next day. Somehow sleep re-energizes the brain and puts things in perspective, and think about the decision. If it's sound, continue. But if not, you may reevaluate and try again.
Exactly.
So, moving away from COVID and tragedy and, yes. and transformation, you also give back. You are involved with the Polka Dot Powerhouse organization. I would love to know more about your work and how you serve others through that.
Yeah, of course. So Polka Dot Powerhouse is a women's connection company. And, you know, we're international. There are chapters all over the world. And basically the premise behind it is that we're built on connection, not networking, not kind of lead seeking, things like that. And then all of the business organically comes from that. So I run one of the chapters here in Massachusetts. And, you know, I have 50 plus members. We have 6 different chapters in Massachusetts. So you can imagine that network So every month I get to run meetings. Every month I get to be primarily focused on connecting people, because that's what I'm a connector. I love that, in the sense of saying, okay, well, you may need this business strategy. Why don't you talk to so-and-so? And we also do work with local charities. We do a lot, but again, it's based on people first. Business is organically generated from that model.
You know, I really like what you said. These organizations really should focus on making human connections versus networking. When I started out in business, I said, I've got to reach out to the world to push out my brand and let people know that I'm here to serve them. But, you know, that is almost a push. And when I find you spend time, a little bit more time, just establishing some deeper connection versus saying, here's what I do, but getting to know them on a personal note, I am finding the payback and the referrals and the lasting impact is so much better when you take it to a human level and connect with people.
We have two core values that we bring forth too, and one being an abundance mentality. So collaboration over competition, because I do believe that there is enough business in the world for anybody. So we're not seat specific. You know, you won't find like one marketer in the group, you'll find multiples. And then through that level of collaboration, amazing things happen. And then, you know, we all joke because the second value that we say is no drama. Right? Because we're there with positive attitudes, because we have amazing things to do. And that's, everyone shows up with that in mind, which is pretty amazing.
I think it's rewarding when people can find those organizations where they really, really connect with people and they have your back. I belong to the Women in Flavors and Fragrance Commerce, WFFC, and we really have each other's back. And I really think we just truly enjoy each other's company, and the networking comes second. So you've got a lot of experience, and I just have a soft spot for up-and-coming high-performance professionals. And if you see somebody, male, female, regardless of their background or industry, based on your experience, what insights or skills do you think they need to develop so that they can learn faster, maybe not make the same mistakes we have in business? What would some of those insights be?
I think I could probably list off like 20 of them at this point in my career, as I'm sure you could too. Yeah. You know, but I think I'll stick with the topic of from a human perspective is, you know, and from a just a good business perspective, is it's always good to know the what's in it for them factor, no matter who you're speaking to, no matter what you're selling, no matter if you're just, you know, speaking to an employee. Heck, that works for my children now that I'm thinking about it. So, you know, at any point in your career is, I think a lot of people that I've seen starting young are very me oriented. Right? They're not thinking about the person across the table from them and saying, one, how could I help them? Which automatically will build your sense of community and a good formation of synergy in the business workplace, as well as, you know, when you can identify the what's in it for them factor for somebody, you know how to work with them. You know how to speak their language, you know how to sell to them, and you know what kind of person you're dealing with as well. So I think that's at the top of my list, as well as some clear communication skills is always, you know, that's something that's always needed, I feel like.
You know, I want to just take this in a couple other directions. I wholeheartedly agree with what you talk. First, have the awareness about me and the gifts that you bring to the world, but get to understand them.
Yes.
Because it's the intersection of me and them working together that gets us the results we want. So great point. Understand them and the people you're working with. But I love the point you also made about speaking the same language, about effective communication. And I find a lot of high-performing individuals do speak extremely well. But what have you found that might be missing in how they communicate that maybe they can help improve it?
You know, and this was something that I ran into very early, because I think usually 12 steps ahead of most people that I'm in a room with, which is a gift and a curse. So I think being able to actively listen in order to effectively communicate, especially from high performers that I know, because your brain, it's not that you're necessarily trying to be rude, but you're thinking of the thing that you're going to say next, right? Before you're actually taking in what they are saying. So I think in order to communicate effectively to somebody, you actually need to listen and not be trying to automatically solve, not be trying to, you know, think 15 steps ahead. Just stay in the moment and present and communicate clearly so that it can reflect that you are understanding what's happening and not that you're jumping right to the solve. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, 100%, because I'm developing a course right now. One of the things I have actually coached one of my mentees is in order to have better communication, you probably listen 70% of the time, take in the perspective, listen to the entire landscape of everybody's contribution. And by the time you weigh in at the end, either to summarize or confirm what people are saying, you come across as a much higher performing leader because you spent so much time listening. They felt heard. And it's an extremely powerful tool is to simply listen.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. It's about people feeling like they're heard. When someone does not feel like they're heard, the communication path shuts down right there. So if you can enable that part of you, and I know when I was first starting, I literally would have to say, listen, 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 and repeat that word in my head because I was either so excited to help someone or my brain moved so fast that I had to train myself to, you know, sit, bite your tongue, and really, really listen and tune into these people so that they feel heard and you can move along even faster that way too.
You know, I have one more question because one of the topics you like to talk about is surviving entrepreneurship. And I am surviving entrepreneurship. I am loving it. Yeah. And it's a journey. Like, you know, I don't have IT person I can enter a ticket for to help me with my printer. But what are some common things that you're seeing with entrepreneurs that you have to help them through to be successful?
Yeah. And there's a reason, and it's so funny, the ticket thing. When I first started, I was like, where's my dev team? You know, so I was coding up my own website, you know, but I think with surviving entrepreneurship, I think number one, some people have said, well, why not thriving entrepreneurs? And I said, because, you know, in my opinion, entrepreneurship is a marathon, not a sprint. And you need to be able to mentally and physically be able to, you know, make to the end of that marathon, whatever that end may be. So what I've discovered is that every entrepreneur I've worked with has that moment of, oh my God, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm done with this. So what I found is there's a couple of key points or a couple of kind of larger high-level categories that I'm constantly coming back to. I think number one is self-care. And I don't mean that in like bubble baths and pedicures, which are lovely, but I mean for the long term, so that your body, so that your mind can last that marathon. And, you know, whether it's successful habits, I'm a big fan of Brendan Burchard, I'm sure you know who he is, with habits of high performers, you know, as well as, you know, knowledge, constantly be learning and seeking it out and not becoming static, you know, resilience. It's all of those kind of common threads that mean that you're not just going to be a flash in the pan. Because a lot of entrepreneurs have that fire in their belly, which tells them, okay, pivot here, do this, do that. And there are, you know, amazing ideas coming behind it, but you do need some foundational items in play in order to keep moving forward.
So those are great points. Self-care, continuing to acquire knowledge, and just having that continual resilience. And for me, getting enough sleep in order to do it over and over again.
Self-care right there, lady friend. Yeah, I like it.
This has been an amazing conversation. But, you know, sometimes when we have these conversations, we go rogue a little bit and we forget some significant things that we want to share. So given the opportunity, what else would you like to share with our listeners?
I just really want to hit home again on the human piece of things. I think we can fall into when we're looking for success in business or in life that people are numbers or that it's a transaction or we get very tactical, whatever that may look like. And it doesn't need to be overcomplicated. It just needs to, people need to be reminded that there are people on the other end of their sales, that you can go a long way strategically by just saying thank you, as simple as that sounds. But especially nowadays, that seems to be a rarity. So having the ability to thank your customers and appreciate your customers and your clients goes such a long way, you know, and just give yourself also grace and space to pivot when you need it. Or if you find yourself, you know, not really feeling comfortable with the choice that you choose, then you can always do it again because it's your choice. So I think, you know, those are also kind of some of the crux ideas behind my surviving entrepreneurship movement and my group and all of the things that go along with that.
So if you're listening to this, you need to absolutely reach out to Michelle. She has some amazing insights. I've taken copious notes here. I'm going to go back through them. And I think there's so much to learn here about humans first and just a brilliant conversation. So if people want to reach out to Michelle, how can they do that?
Yeah, so it's really easy. My website is createhonesty.com, and my handles on Facebook and Instagram are both Create Honesty. And you can also locate my Surviving Entrepreneurship Facebook community right off of my page so that you can get right into that group. And there's some really amazing insight there as well.
All right. Brilliant conversation. Thank you so much, Michelle, for your time. I truly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.